Let's turn together in our Bibles to Hebrews chapter 2, and we'll also be reading from the back of our songbooks from Lord's Day 5. But first, let's read from Hebrews chapter 2. Today, we are making our transition from the first section of the Catechism into our second section of the Catechism. By way of reminder, children, the first section of the Catechism deals with our sin and misery, and the second section of the Catechism deals with our deliverance, our salvation found in Christ alone. So Hebrews chapter 2, we're going to be reading about the identity and work of this one Savior and Mediator, the one name under heaven by which we can be saved. This is Hebrews chapter 2, we're going to be reading verses 14 to the end of the chapter. Let's find a page 1162, 1162. Two in our pew Bibles. Hebrews chapter 2, starting at verse 14. Since the children have flesh and blood, he too shared in their humanity, so that by his death he might destroy him who holds the power of death, that is, the devil, and free those who all their lives were held in slavery by their fear of death. For surely it is not angels he helps, but Abraham's descendants. For this reason, he had to be made like his brothers in every way, in order that he might become a merciful and faithful high priest in service of God, and that he might make atonement for the sins of the people. Because he himself suffered when he was tempted, he is able to help those who are being tempted. And that's as far as reading in Hebrews. If you can, keep your Bibles open. We're going to be looking at that text in our second point. But first, let's read the back of our Psalter hymnals. We come to Lord's Day 5. You'll see there at the top of the page, part 2, our deliverance. Lord's Day 5, that's page 874. And we're going to be reading question and answers 12 through 15. That's page 874. Question and answer 12. According to the righteous, God's righteous judgment, we deserve punishment both now and in eternity. How then can we escape this punishment and return to God's favor? And the answer is, God requires that his justice be satisfied. Therefore, the claims of this justice must be paid in full, either by ourselves or by another. Can we make this payment ourselves? Certainly not. Actually, we increase our debt every day. Can another creature, any at all, pay this debt for us? No. To begin with, God will not punish any other creature for what a human is guilty of. Furthermore, no mere creature can bear the weight of God's eternal wrath against sin and deliver others from it. Finally, what kind of mediator and deliverer should we look for then? And the answer is one who is true and righteous man, yet more powerful than all creatures. That is, one who is also true God. And that's as far as reading in the Catechism this evening. Congregation of our Lord Jesus Christ, for the past few weeks we have been immersed, we have looked at the various aspects of man's depravity. We have seen our sin and misery, we have seen how far short we have all fallen. And just last week we saw that since God is just, and God is holy, and God is righteous, his justice, his holiness, his righteousness demands that sin be paid for. Every sin which is a breaking of God's law, which is a transgression against the supreme being, incurs a wrath of supreme penalty. This week, as we move into the second point, the second section of the Catechism, we're going to be looking at our deliverance and salvation. And Lord's Day 5 bridges the gap. It forms a transition for us as we begin in this section to look at the various aspects as well as the humiliation and exaltation of our Savior, Jesus Christ. Over the past few weeks, as we looked at Lord's Days 2 through 4, we have looked at every road, we have looked at every single possibility. How can we escape? How can we deliver ourselves? How can we rescue ourselves from the pit? And every single road has met with a dead end sign. Every door has been closed. There is no one who is righteous. There is no one who is good. There is no one who can satisfy the justice of God by his penitence, by his penance, by his goodness, by his righteousness, because we are all sinners. Well, who then can make amends? Where is the good news? If the deliverer is not going to be found by man and by my hands, how can we be saved? God's justice, as question and answer 12 says, God's justice must be upheld. His righteousness, his holiness must be defended. Someone must pay this debt. Well, we live in a unique time period in our lives, and the current financial crisis has left many people with the inability to pay their current home loans. But due to an executive order, property owners cannot cannot evict those who cannot pay their debt. So some people, because of a unique hardship that is placed upon them because they lost their jobs, they're not able to pay their debt, and yet they are allowed to live in their homes, to continue to live in their homes, even though they cannot pay. Is that an option for us as human beings? Can we hope to live with God even though we can't pay our debts? Well, defaulting on our debt is impossible because God is holy and just. So today we look at this theme that our gracious God reveals the identity of the only mediator who meets the requirements and can pay this debt. We're going to be looking at 2 points. First, who is unable to pay? We're going to look at this final option of someone else taking our place. And the second one, who is the only one? The second point, who is the only one that meets these necessary requirements? We begin in question and answer 13 by asking, can we pay this debt? Can we make this payment ourselves? Since God is just, since God is holy, his justice demands that a sin committed against the supreme God be met with the supreme penalty. We looked at this last week. The supreme penalty is punishment, is condemnation of body and soul in hell for all eternity. Can we make a payment sufficient to liberate ourselves from this debt which we have incurred ourselves? Question and answer 13 gives us the very clear answer. No. Actually, certainly not. It is impossible for a fallen man to come up with sufficient equity to pay this debt. We read that earlier from Psalm 49, verse 7. Truly no man can ransom another or give to God the price for his life. Man cannot come up with a sufficient payment to ransom the soul, to deliver a man, a fellow man, from the pit of hell. Because we are the ones who have ourselves fallen short of God's glory. A sinner cannot pay for the sins of another. Going back to that example about someone who is unable to pay their home loan, the problem is we have lost our jobs. We're the ones who have defaulted on the loans. We are unable to pay, and we deserve to be kicked out on the streets. We do not deserve, and there is no way that we can in ourselves pay this monumental loan back. The problem is the price is too high. And our ability is too low. It's higher. The cost of our sin, the amount of payment that it would take for us to somehow satisfy the justice of God so that we can live in the presence of God, so that God's justice would be satisfied and our debt would be paid. It's higher than the cost of purchasing the most expensive building on the face of this earth. No money, no gold, no precious stones could ever provide this payment. As mortal man, We simply cannot make a supreme payment. There is nothing we can do. There is no act we could perform, no ritual we could go through that would be sufficient enough. The best that we can do, the prophets say, the best that we can do, what we would call our righteous works, our filthy rags, still polluted. So that even if we would live the absolute best life a human could ever live, the divide, the gap between God's holiness, the debt that our sins have incurred, and what we are able to bring forth will never be bridged. A finite man, especially a fallen finite man, cannot pay this supreme debt. Let's think of an example of what this is like. Perhaps you've looked at your credit card bill that comes in the mail. And you see this line item that's at the bottom. If you pay the minimum, you will end up having to pay X amount of dollars more, and it will end up taking you 5-10 years in order to pay back this debt. Now, if you were diligent and you faithfully paid by way of installment, you could eventually chip away at that debt and bring that debt to a zero. But the problem with mankind is that instead of making installments on this debt that we owe, we are actually increasing the debt that we owe. We are not making payments to decrease it. We're actually increasing it. The compound interest, if you will, is higher than what we are able to do, but it's even worse than that. It's not that we just have a insufficient fund. We don't even have the right currency. Little children, it would kind of be like your parents trying to pay for their home using Monopoly money. It doesn't work. It's not recognized. Because sinners cannot do something to satisfy a just and holy God. Romans 2 says we are actually storing up wrath for ourselves. We're out of control spenders that increase our debt every day. We are bankrupt. We're not making it better. We make it worse. To bring home this fact, the fact that we can't pay this debt is finally closing the door on our self-righteousness. After you read question and answer 13, you can't go home and say, well, I need to try a little bit harder. I need to work a little bit harder. That if only I would do X or Y or Z, then God would be happy with me. This truth makes it abundantly clear that we cannot pay God back. We will never satisfy the justice, this supreme penalty. It brings us to an end of ourselves. And it makes it evident that we need someone else. We need to trust in someone else. We need to find a substitute. We need to recognize that it is only by the hand of another. Because as Psalm 143 says, in God's sight, no man is righteous. Okay, so we need someone else. Coming to question and answer 14, can any other creature? If we can't do it, if my ability, because I'm fallen and finite, cannot pay this debt, how about another creature, any at all? Let's go through all of the options. Can any other creature pay this debt? Well, question and answer 14 says no. No other mere creature will be able to pay this debt for two reasons. The first reason no mere creature can pay this debt is because God is just. God is just. It was man that sinned. Man must pay for sin. It is man that has incurred this supreme penalty, this infinite debt. And man must pay that debt. God is just, and God will not require from the hand of any other creature what you and I have done. Man's sin, man must pay for sin. Man fell, body and soul. Man must be punished, body and soul. So the first reason that no other mere creature can pay this debt is because God is just. The second reason, question answer 14 says that no mere creature can pay this debt is because a mere creature does not have the sufficiency, does not have the resilience, does not have the weight, does not have the power. It would be more probable for a toothpick bridge to bear the weight of a semi-truck than it would be for any mere creature to bear the just wrath of God. Their legs are too feeble, their backs are too weak. Nothing that no mere creature can do would satisfy the justice of a holy God. Added to this fact, a substitute must come willingly. So the blood of bulls and goats, as Hebrews 10 says, the blood of bulls and goats cannot take away sins. Because it was not bulls and goats that rebelled in the garden, it was mankind. And these bulls and goats are not offering themselves willingly to be a substitute. They are dragged there against their will. So we finally come to the end of the matter. Door number one, any other man, myself, any other man. No, it ain't going to work. Mankind, human beings, fallen, finite, we're sinners, our works are insufficient. We can't come up with a way in the realm of humanity to come up with this payment for the supreme penalty. Door number two, any other creature, angels, animals, anything on the face of this earth, is there any possibility of any mere creature bearing the weight of God's wrath in order to free us, to pay it for us? That doesn't work either, because God is just and these other creatures are insufficient. So those two options are closed. Yet we still have hope. Because there is one who is able, and this is when we come to question and answer 15, where we find a very specific requirement met by the one Savior. Remember earlier we found that no mere creature, this question and answer 14, no mere creature can bear the weight of God's eternal wrath against sin and deliver others from it. No mere creature. So what about someone who is more than a mere creature? One who is like us, but more than us. If you have your Bible still open, let's look at what we found in Hebrews chapter 2. In Hebrews chapter 2, we found in verse 14 that since children have flesh and blood, that our mediator, Christ Jesus, needs to have flesh and blood as well. He has to share in our humanity, so that by his death he might destroy him who holds the power of death, that is, the devil, and free those who all their lives were held in slavery by their fear of death. Because it's not angels that Jesus came to help, but Abraham's descendants, Abraham's children. For this reason, verse 17 says, he had to be made like his brothers in every way. Like us in every way. So that he might become a merciful and faithful high priest. And that he might make atonement for the sins of his people. So the first requirement that we have when we consider Jesus Christ is that he has to be like us in every way. Everything that makes you and I and Adam and Abraham down the line, everything that makes us human beings has to be met, has to be fulfilled, has to be found in Jesus Christ. So Jesus Christ had to have a human mind, he had to have a human soul, a human intellect, he had to have a body, he had to have a spirit, just like you and I. And even our text points to the fact that Jesus Christ has suffered, verse 18, and he was tempted. When we consider Jesus Christ, he is not something holy, other, separate, different from us, so that he has no understanding of what it's like to be through, to go through trials. In fact, the requirement that is here set by Jesus Christ, or fulfilled in Jesus Christ, is that he is like us in every way, having gone through the process of birth, suffering, and death, so that at every moment of our life, we would be able to look to Jesus Christ and say concerning him, he is compassionate, he has understanding, he's our merciful high priest because he's been there for us, he's been there with us, he's gone through it. It is Jesus Christ who hungered and thirsted and wept. He's like us in every way. There is no moment, no trial, no tribulation, no hardship that you can go through physically or spiritually that Jesus can say, I have no understanding of that. Jesus suffered it all. And that unique qualification that he is like us in every way means that when we come to Jesus Christ in prayer, we are coming to someone who has understanding, who has compassion, who is with us, who's been there, who's weathered the storm. That's so comforting as God's people. What sin tends to do, and we'll get back to our point in just a minute, but what sin tends to do, it tends to put this thought in our mind that what I am going through is unique. No one has suffered like I have suffered. No one has gone through what I am going through. I'm all alone. I'm completely cut off from the rest of humanity. But knowing that Jesus Christ is merciful and compassionate, he has an understanding of what we go through and the trials that we suffer, that means we can approach him and he knows our need. Because he has been through it. He knows what it's like to be one of us. And yet he's different. He's different from every other human being because while being fully man, he remains fully righteous. Isaiah 53 says this, he would be sinless without deceit or violence. 2 Corinthians 5:21, although he knew no sin, he was made to be sin. The second aspect of Jesus Christ is that he's free from sin. He is a righteous man. He is the blessed man of Psalm 1. The righteous man. He lived his life, his entire life, being tempted, suffering, but never giving in to temptation, never sinning in thought, word, or deed. And that's important because a sinner cannot pay for other sinners. A sinner would have a debt himself, but Christ has no debt because he is perfect. He lived a fully perfect life. But there's a third aspect. It's that he needs to be more powerful. This is question and answer 15. He has to be more powerful than all creatures. That is, he has to be also true God. So we say in our confessions, he has to be truly very man and truly very God. Fully God and fully man. 100% man and 100% God. And why is that important? The reason the deity of Jesus Christ is so important is because by way of his deity, he has the power, the sufficiency, to drink the cup of God's wrath. Earlier in question and answer 11, if you still have your catechism open, you will find that question and answer 11 ends by saying, when man sins against a supreme being, the person you sin against increases the liability. So when we sinned against God, we incurred a wrath that is in keeping with the one that we sinned against. If we sin against a supreme being, that incurs a supreme penalty. A supreme penalty is eternal punishment of body and soul in hell. It's suffering, the anguish, the separation, the anger of God for all eternity. But when Jesus Christ enters the stage, when he comes onto the scene, Jesus Christ, by way of his divinity, is able to bear eternity in his humanity. It would take an eternal being to settle a supreme penalty. It would take an infinite being to pay this supreme penalty. It is Jesus Christ alone who has the power, who has sufficiency, the ability to make a one-time payment that would be sufficient for all. It is Jesus Christ alone who meets this bill, who fits the bill, who is fully man and righteous and fully God. If you still have your Bibles in your hand, I want you to turn with me once again to our reading from Psalm 49, where we see the beautiful transition and satisfaction that we find. In Psalm 49, verse 7, we found this: "No man can redeem the life of another or give to God a ransom for him, for the ransom for a life is costly. If you wanted to come up with a payment that would be sufficient to deliver a person from death and to secure their eternal life, there is no amount of riches." We have some incredibly rich, wealthy people in the face of this world, and they put their monies into staving, to holding, to keeping death at bay for as long as they can. But verse 12 says, "A man, despite his riches," doesn't matter how much a person has in terms of wealth, "there's no amount of money, earthly gain that you can give to satisfy the consequence of sin." Remember, God said to Adam and Eve, "When you eat from that tree, you will surely die. Death will come. Death like death," it says here in verse 17, "will feed on them." Death will have its prey. Doesn't matter how much money you could try to amass. But then when you come to verse 15, you find something wholly different. "Because God will redeem my life from the grave. He will surely take me to himself." What is unique, or what is different about verse 15, is that it is not man, but it is God. God that provides the ransom. And we know that this one to purchase the ransom for us is Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ comes and satisfies the justice of God in that he bore in his humanity the wrath of God against sin. Remember that we looked at this a couple weeks back from Galatians. The consequence of sin is the curse. Who suffered the curse? Jesus Christ became a curse for us on the cross. Jesus Christ had no sin, but he became sin, was placed upon him. So that, praise God, there is another, our Savior, Jesus Christ. And you'll forgive me for jumping down to verse 18. The good news just has to be clearly spoken. "Who then is this mediator? Who is true God and at the same time true and righteous man?" The answer is our Lord Jesus Christ, who has given to us for complete deliverance and righteousness. That's the good news. Yes, it is possible. A Savior has been sent. To conclude, question and answers 12 through 15 really form the transition, the bridge for us, transitioning from man's sin and misery, and now we're going to be looking at who Jesus Christ is. Particularly, we're going to be looking at his humiliation and his exaltation, the various parts of his life. And as we look at, in focusing in on Jesus Christ and really looking at what he did and what his life means for us, the good news is that there is someone who has paid the debt. What you and I should have done, deserved, was eternal, supreme penalty, eternal punishment of body and soul in hell for all eternity. What Jesus Christ did is he paid, he made the payment, which you and I should have done, he did for us. There is one who can and has saved. Paul says this in Romans 7, "O wretched man that I am, who will deliver me from the body of death? Thanks be to God through our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ." A mediator has been found, and this mediator meets very specific, very precise requirements. So today we find that Jesus Christ is the one who is the identity of our only mediator. It's this Jesus Christ, our Savior and Lord. He is the sacrifice who willingly came, whose work, whose life is sufficient to pay that debt so that we can be forgiven from all our sins. This truth, knowing who Jesus Christ is, this truth is what gives us good news and gives us hope and encourages us as we look at the various trials throughout our life. You can know that whatever comes to you in this life, whatever trials you might experience, these are not foretastes. These are not down payments of suffering and punishment that is to come, because Christ has already satisfied it. And when we come to our God in prayer and when we cry out to the God of mercy, we know we are coming to Jesus Christ, who is compassionate, who knows your trials, who bears your flesh. So praise God for the gift of Jesus Christ, who meets this requirement as the only mediator able to save a fallen man. Amen. Let's pray. Our Father in heaven, we thank you for this warm and encouraging word, that even though there is no man and no other mere creature that can save, there is one who has been sent, who has saved. We thank you for Jesus Christ and his sufficient atonement. We thank you that he is like us in every way except for sin, that he remains righteous, and that he's more powerful than any mere creature, that he is one with you, able to take upon himself the supreme penalty, to become a curse, to become sin, to drink from the cup of your wrath until your justice is satisfied. May our hearts be filled with a warm and enduring love for Christ, knowing that he alone has saved us from the debt, from the death and curse which we deserve. We thank you for Jesus Christ and his sufficiency. In his name we pray. Amen.